morning. It is good to be here with you this morning, and I'm looking forward to the sermon because of the text. You know, when you think of a quote that's in the text, you could say the title of the sermon and maybe the emphasis of the whole section. We're in John chapter 1 is, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." So I just pray that we, as we look in the text, would behold the Lamb this morning, as we have this morning. And let's read the text, and then we'll begin in verse 19 of John chapter 1, and then we will pray and begin. Let's read John 1, verse 19. "And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity together as your people to come together and be and to worship you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of John the Baptist that we see here in our text for this morning. Father, we thank you for your word that you have given to us, that we might see the testimony of John and see that you spoke these things to him, and Father, that we may know that the Lamb of God has come. Father, we praise you for that, and thank you again for the opportunity and the encouragement you give us constantly in your word. And we just ask that you would bless our time together, and Father, that you would just cause us to desire to glorify you because of your word. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as we continue studying through the book of John, we're in the Gospel of John. Let's get this straight, just for the kids. We're in the Gospel of John. It was the Word of God that was inspired through John the Apostle. But now we're going to be continuing in the account of John the Baptist, which is not John the Apostle. So we're speaking of John the Baptist. And Marshall spoke last week about how John the Baptist was the forerunner that was talked, and we see that he quotes the text out of Isaiah in the text that Marshall spoke on last week, that he was a forerunner, the one who was sent by God really to prepare for the arrival of the Messiah, for the coming of the Messiah. And we saw the I like the way Marshall brought out the humility of John the Baptist in this. How he knew that his ministry was coming to an end. The reason that he came was coming. I mean, he was seeing the fulfillment in that the one that he was sent to prepare the people for was here. And so all that he, his whole life, everything that he had come to do was, it was being fulfilled before his eyes. And we see the humility in that, and that he said that he put Christ first and pointed towards the Messiah. And just think about John's whole life, and it was told to his father Zechariah, as he was told by the angel of the Lord, he was told what his purpose would be, what his son's purpose would be. And we see that in Luke. We go to Luke 1:13, beginning in verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." And Zechariah had gone into the temple to burn incense. And there was an angel there, and he was afraid. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." So we can see in this, John, why John came. That's before he was even born. We see the prophecy given to his father that he would make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So we fast forward, and now we find John in Bethany preaching and baptizing, near Bethany at the Jordan, preaching and baptizing. And as the priests and the Levites came to question John, they came to, they heard of this guy out in the wilderness that's baptizing and preaching, and they came to question him, and they asked him who he was. He made it clear, very clear, "I am not the Christ," but that he was the one crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah had said. John said, "I baptize with water, but among you, living among you now, there's one who will come after me, who," John said, "I'm not even worthy to untie the strap of his sandal." So there's one among you who was before me, who's going to come after me. So John came for this purpose. And we see in our text for this morning what the purpose was. And we're going to focus on verses 29 through 34 this morning. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose, I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." So really in verse 31, if you look at verse 31 there, you see, we can read that, "But for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." The purpose of it, so this is the purpose of John's entire ministry right here. That's what he was about, was to reveal him to the people of Israel. So just think about it. Everything that he taught, his entire life was all about this one thing. He had been sent to prepare the people for this revealing in his preaching before the Messiah was revealed. Before the announcement, he was preparing hearts. The one who John had already said was among the people was the one that he was to reveal. So we see John out here. John is preaching, teaching, and baptizing. And he's preaching this, he's baptizing people out in the Jordan. And we can see that apparently he'd drawn the attention of Israel, of the leadership in Jerusalem, because they had sent the priests and the Levites to see what was going on. And what did John do? He asked, he had answered them, "I'm not the Christ." But we see that right here we find ourselves on the next day in verse 29. So they had come asking, he had drawn their attention, and they asked who he was, and he had made it clear that he was not the Christ. But here on the very next day in verse 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him. So John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The one who takes away sin. So we see John's ministry come to a fulfillment here. The one who takes away sin, the Lamb of God, was approaching him. And so the one who takes away sin, this Lamb of God that he is introducing to Israel, is to take away sin. And so for context, I thought it would be good if we thought about, what was John doing? You know, he's preparing the hearts for this Lamb who was to take away sin. What was John doing as he was preaching in the wilderness, as he was preaching there in Bethany, or close to Bethany? Mark 1, verses 4 through 8. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts of wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So we see here in Mark that John was there baptizing in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So he was calling on the people of Israel to see their sins and to confess their sins, and he was proclaiming this baptism of repentance. And then in Matthew, we read in Matthew 3, 1 and 2, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And then in 3, 5 and 6, "Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." So John was preaching, and he was preaching to the people of Israel, and he was declaring or showing them their sin and their need of repentance. He was calling on them to publicly profess that they were sinners. You see that? He was calling on them to publicly profess that, to confess their sins and to turn to God. He was calling on these people. Now notice it's the people. Then Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him. The people from Jerusalem and Judea. These people that were going out, that were listening to John the Baptist, were Israelites. They were Israelites. They were people of the circumcision. These people who he was preaching to repent and confess their sins were people of the circumcision. They had the covenant sign. They had the circumcision. They were part of the physical nation of Israel. They were descendants of Abraham. They were coming out to hear John proclaim this baptism of repentance. And he was calling on them to repent and confess their sin and to appeal to the mercy of God. It's a turning towards God. So these people the people of Israel, who looked at their circumcision, looked at their being a part of the nation of Israel, looked at all these things, many of these people would consider themselves righteous basically just because of who they were. John was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And some were repenting and making a public confession of their sins, and they were being baptized. But some were not. Some would look at their own place in society as that would cause them to be righteous. But think of these people, all the people that are hearing what John's preaching. Think they went continually to the temple. They had seen and they knew about the sacrifices. They had seen and they knew they had participated in the Passover year after year. The Pharisees had sent the people to ask John who he was and why he was baptizing. And you can imagine the Pharisees saying, "Why would this man be calling upon people to repent? This man is out in the wilderness. He's away from us. Why would he call on people to repent and to be baptized? We have our sacrifices. We're the children of Abraham. We are the righteous ones. We are the children of Abraham. We are of the circumcised, and this man is calling on people to repent, and they are doing it. They're repenting. They're following him in this baptism." But they had, all of the people that heard these things knew of the sacrifices. They knew of what we read in Leviticus. They knew of Leviticus 1:3-5. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of the meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar that is at the entrance of the tent of the meeting. They knew of these sacrifices, of this burnt offering, of the priest, or of the person putting their hand on the head of the burnt offering. They understood those things. They knew of the Passover lamb in Exodus 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." So these people that were hearing John preach and proclaim this baptism of repentance were of the circumcision. They knew of the sacrifices. They knew of the Passover lamb. They knew that the offerings were to be offered, and they were to be animals without blemish, the best of their herds. They were to be offered to God. They knew about the picture of that offering bearing their sins. When they took the lamb in, they knew there was a picture there of the sins being placed on the head of the offering. They knew of atonement. They knew of these things. They had been given all of these things, and they were all types or shadows that all pointed to the one who was to come. They knew of Isaiah 53. They knew the text. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." They knew these scriptures. They knew all this. They had grown up in these things. They had grown up in them. So just think. You grow up year after year participating in the Passover, the sacrifices, being taught these things over and over. you're proud of your circumcision, of your standing as a descendant of Abraham, and that you have the law and the sacrifices and all of these things. You grow up in it, and then you hear, when you hear John proclaim, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God." When Jesus see, when John sees Jesus coming and proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God," he's declaring at that moment that here is the Lamb. This is the Lamb. This is He. This is He of whom all of these things spoke of. He's declaring to Israel, he's announcing, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is the one who takes away sin. This is all of what you have, that you have lived in, all of the law. It's what all of these things were pointing to. And here he is, the Lamb of God. He's in the flesh, the one who takes away sin." But they knew that their lambs had to be without blemish as they brought them to the temple. But this lamb is different. This is different. In the past, the Israelites, in the past, the Jews would take a lamb or a sheep or whatever it was from their own herd, and they would bring it to the temple. They would select the lamb that God provided their herd. I believe they believe that He provided for them, but they picked the best of the herd, selected the lamb, and brought it to the temple. They picked out the substitute. They brought the substitute. And they did it year after year. But here John's announcing the Lamb of God, the Lamb that God provides, the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb that God provided. You can think of, I didn't put it on the screen, but think of Abraham. It's the Lamb that God provides, like Abraham proclaimed to Isaac in Genesis 22:7. You know, they're going up the mountain to make this burnt offering to God, and God had called him to do it. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they both of them went together. So it's like that lamb. He trusted that God was going to provide the lamb. Abraham did. And in John proclaiming this, "Behold the Lamb of God," he's proclaiming to all of Israel, he's proclaiming to all of Israel that here is the Lamb. This is the fulfillment of all that you've been practicing. Here He is. He's proclaiming it to them, that all of their scripture points to the fulfillment, to this one who was to come. And then here is the Lamb of God that God Himself provides. But someone might say, wait a minute, John, this is a man. How can a man take away sin? How can this man take away sin? They might argue every man naturally born is born with sin. The scripture is clear on that. Every man who is naturally born is born with sin. That we are born sinners with a sin nature. So how can a man take away sin? Well, this man is different. This man is different. In Luke 1:30-35, we see the angel speaking to Mary. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now listen to this. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. This man is different. This man is completely different. The way that a man can take away the sins of the world is by being born without a physical father. A physical father. This is why Jesus was without sin. The perfect spotless lamb without blemish was without blemish because he came from God. As we've read in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This speaking of Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in 35 of this, we read that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. This is the way a man can take away the sins of the world, because he is holy. He is the Son of God. He came from God. And as we read in our text this morning in verse 34, John the Baptist says, and I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. So we see in our text this morning also that John is declaring that Jesus is the Son of God. So this Jesus here in our text, declared to be the Lamb of God, the Son of God, was with God in the beginning, and he is God. And it's only by the substitutional slaughter. It was a slaughter, like a lamb in the temple. The substitutional slaughter of that perfect Lamb of God that sins can be taken away. That's the only way that it can happen. That's the only way sin can be removed. That's the only way we can be forgiven of sin by a righteous, just God. But some might ask John, why should we listen to you? How do you know? You might, you could say, okay, he's declared that this is the Son of God, behold the Lamb of God. Well, this is his cousin. We don't know how close really they're related, but we know that John leapt in his mother's womb whenever Mary came close to him. So they might say, why should we listen to you, John? That's just your opinion. It's just your opinion that this is the Lamb of God. This is Jesus of Nazareth. You're making this man to be the Son of God on your own. Why should we trust what you say, John? I mean, you're a wild man. You're a crazy man. You're living out in the wilderness. Why should we trust you? The Pharisees might say that to him. Why should we believe what you say? And I think John answers that in verses 31 and 33, where he says, I myself did not know him. And in verse 33, he repeats it, I myself did not know him. I myself did not know him. What he's saying is, I did not know this. I did not come up with this on my own. I myself did not know it. I myself did not determine it. But we read in verses 32 and 33, John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So I think that's what he's saying when he says, I myself did not know him. He's saying, I didn't come to this determination. He who sent me said, the one who you see the Spirit descend on and stay on is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So God had declared this to John. What John witnesses to and what he bears witness to is that God declared to John that, behold the Lamb of God. God declared that to John. God declared to John that this is the Son of God. And I think that's what he's saying there. This is the Son of God. So it was John's purpose to come and reveal the Son of God to the people of Israel. That's what he says. That was his purpose. And here God's declared that He is the Lamb of God. God's declaring in this Lamb of God, really He's declaring that He is the fulfillment of all of the sacrifices that they had participated in for so long. And God's declared it, and John has borne witness to it. But notice in verse 29, so John's purpose is to reveal this to the people of Israel. In verse 29 we see, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So he's declaring to Israel in this, "Behold the Lamb of God." They would understand, right? They would understand. But notice he says, "Who takes away the sin of the world." There's something different in the statement "world" here. He could have said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of Israel." Or he could have said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of Judah." He could have said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the circumcised." But he didn't. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So what he's saying in this statement is that this Lamb of God who's being revealed to Israel is coming not only for Israel, but to take away the sin of the world, of people groups all over the world. Not just for Israel, of all peoples, all nations is what this is talking about. Now some might read this and say he's taking away the sin of everybody in the world, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that when you read "world," he's saying all peoples, because it was Israel. Israel had the law. Now he's coming to take away the sin of the world, of the nations. And oh, how this is good news for us. Think about it. It's good news for us, because are we the people of Israel? You mean in the flesh? No, we're not. We're not of the natural Israel. We're part of that world that he's talking about, and he came also for us to remove our sins. And that's what John bore witness of. This Jesus is the one who God said would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if we really got time to go into full speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what is he talking about? The one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. I think Jesus is speaking of it in John. Whoops. Well, I thought I had that in there. Okay, he's speaking of it in John 3:5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So it's Jesus who has been given the authority to baptize, by the Holy Spirit. It is him who's given the authority to baptize, to cause this new birth. I believe this baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking of being immersed into Christ. It's speaking of us being joined together with Christ. And we see in this text that it is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, the one that would come after John. John said, "I baptize with water," but this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And it's speaking of the new birth, of this being regenerated, of this being placed in Christ, immersed into Christ. And so Jesus has been given all authority. He is God. He was born of a virgin. He was born without sin. He had no sin nature. He lived a perfect life. He was the Lamb of God. And he was declared here to us to be so from the very words of God. God spoke it. This is the Son of God. And he died as the substitute to atone for our sins, to pay for our sins. He is the Lamb of God. As John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And I just want to ask you, just to think about it a little bit, have you beheld the Son of God? Have you beheld him? Have you beheld the Son of God? Have you truly seen who he is and believed he was who God here declares him to be? John bears witness of what God has said, and I just ask you, have you believed it? Have you believed that he is who he says he is? I would just ask you all to just think a little bit. Have you truly seen yourselves as a sinner in needing a Lamb of God? Have you acknowledged yourself to be one, to be a sinner? Have you turned to him in repentance? That's what repentance is. It's seeing yourself as a sinner and it's turning away from that towards God. Have you turned to him? Have you trusted completely? Have you trusted completely in the mercy of God accomplished in the sacrifice of the Son of God? You see, it really doesn't matter if you have personally believed that Jesus is the Son of God, because God has declared that that is who he is. So basically, you know, you've heard people say, have you made Jesus Lord of your life? We don't make Jesus Lord of our life. We don't make him our Lord. He is our Lord. He is the Son of God. He has come and he has died for sinners, whether you acknowledge it personally or not. But I'm calling on you to acknowledge it, to see him for who he is. He is the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God who came from God. He came from God to be the Lamb of God. He came from God to die on the cross. That's the primary reason he came, and to take our sins upon himself. He came for that reason. And so I just encourage you, if you've never really believed that or thought through it, what does it take? How do we get our sins taken away? You know, what do we do to get this to happen? Do we do a certain number of things or follow some pattern? Do we say a prayer just in the right way? Do we say a certain words in a particular order? What do we do? Do we follow him in baptism? Do we be obedient? Do we work on being obedient? What do we do? Well, here's what you do. You basically just listen to who he is. You hear the word of God declare, this is the Son of God, the Lamb who takes away sins. You realize that you're a sinner in need of that Lamb, and you believe it. That's basically what we do. We believe. We trust in that sacrifice. We trust that he was who he said he was. We look and we have faith. We just believe it. We see that he declared that I have come to take away sins. We see him declare that it was accomplished on the cross. We see that he died and that he rose again, and we just believe it. We trust completely in that. We turn from our own self-righteousness. We turn from trying to prove ourselves right with God and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God. He is our Savior. He is the Lamb. And we just completely trust in that. And in doing that, our sins were placed on him on the cross. They are taken away. And God looks at us and he sees Christ's righteousness in us. The great exchange. We're sinners. He's completely righteous. He died on the cross. Our sins were placed on him on the cross. And then in exchange, we receive his righteousness. And when God sees us, he sees Christ. He sees Jesus. He sees the righteous one. And in believing and doing that, it's like we read in Isaiah 43:25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. He does it for his own sake, so that we might glorify him. And I will not remember your sins. So it's God who blots out your transgressions and remembers your sin, or remembers not your sins. And he does it because for his own glory, for his own sake. So I just encourage you to trust in that, to believe it. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we just cannot help but glorify you that you did provide the lamb. Father, that we are sinners in need of mercy. And we thank you for the witness of John that we see in the text this morning. Father, that you spoke to him and declared that Jesus was the Lamb of God, that Jesus was the Son of God. And Father, we thank you that you preserved that word for us to read. And Father, I just pray that you would encourage your saints that are here this morning. I just pray that you would, Lord, you would cause us to desire to glorify you just for the depths of the truths that are just seen in this small section of text we studied this morning. I know there's more here that we could speak on, but Father, we just wanted your people to see, to behold the Lamb of God this morning. Father, I pray if there's anyone here that's not trusted completely, that's just not believed, that, Father, that you would work in their hearts and cause that new birth to happen, Father, and that you would encourage ones that have, that sometimes wonder, that they can know that if they're living a life of repentance and trusting in you, that they can rest in knowing that you have accomplished it, Father, that all was accomplished for those who love you. And Father, all the sins were taken away, and we thank you for that, and just pray that you would encourage us in that also. And Father, we just want to glorify you in all that we do, and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.